Amen. All right, thank you, Brittany. All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, please, tonight. And we'll begin reading in verse 6. Let's stand again, if you would, please. Hebrews 9, 6. And following. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But, glory to God, but Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, amen, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, amen, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we do love you tonight. Thank you, God, for the Bible and the truths of this precious word, how it feeds our needy, hungry souls. I pray, God, please, for perfect liberty here. Fill me. Fill this place with your spirit, your power. Bind the devil, Lord God, I pray now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've been talking about Jesus is better than the tabernacle, and we're going to keep on that thought here tonight. We talked about last week, the tabernacle, I said, means three things. It's an earthly illustration of a heavenly tabernacle. Okay, it's a type also, number two, of Jesus Christ. Everything in this tabernacle is a type, or points to some aspect of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Of course, the only access that we have to the Father. And it's a picture of fellowship. And that's what I want to dwell on a little bit here tonight again, because we're saved here tonight. You're saved, right? Say amen.
Amen.
So what's lacking in Christians' hearts tonight is not salvation.
Right.
Most of it is just fellowship.
Yeah.
It's drawing near to the Lord where His presence is. Listen, His presence revives our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. His presence brings joy once again into a dry and barren soul. I'm not talking about a lost soul. I'm talking about joy into a heart that's just been maybe a little bit beat down with the cares of this life. We said it was God's dwelling place where God chose to meet with man. It was where God chose to meet with man. We said a few things. It was the center of the Israeli camp. Remember, I showed you those camp, those tribes and camped around it. And I remembered this after I left last week, but I want to point this out. You remember just a couple weeks ago, we talked about the solar system, the sun, S-O-N, S-U-N, how the sun is the center of our solar system. And, well, that's a perfect picture of that tabernacle, the center of our lives, amen, everything built around the tabernacle, the presence, the very presence of God. We said it was also that law was kept in the most holy place. Remember now, God's word is to be reverenced and obeyed. And listen, and kept holy. Okay? These very words are holy. Amen. It's not just ink on a page. Okay? This is God's word. It was where also sacrifices were made. It was where the children of Israel, when they needed to make their trespass offerings, their sin offerings, their burnt offerings, their peace offerings, they came to the tabernacle. They didn't do it out there in their tent.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't go out into the woods and worship nature out there in God's... They came into the house of God that God had prepared, and they offered their sacrifice. They didn't give them to the TV evangelists. Amen. They didn't send it in the mail to some mail order catalog. Amen. They came into the house of God, and they brought their sacrifices into the house of God. It was also, we said, where the priests were fed. You and me. That's where we fed, amen. This is where we come to get fed. Now, we can feed ourselves, but boy, what a blessing when God himself feeds us. It's a lot better. It tastes better that way, doesn't it? It tastes better, amen. It's also, we said, where the people came to worship God. Worship God. That giving of offerings, but that just was, it's just in the very presence and the light and the bread and the prayers and just reminding ourselves of how great God is. Now, last week I mentioned that I was going to compare the tabernacle to the temple, and I will do that, and I just briefly tonight, but I'm going to get to something else here. But I said last week, the tabernacle represents Christ in his first coming. Okay? Remember, it was a humble tent.
Yeah. Right.
And he came the first time as a humble servant. Also, though, later on, many years later, the temple was built, and it represents, of course, it was a magnificent building, a beautiful, glorious temple made out of gold and ornate like you've never seen before. It represents Christ coming again the second time, amen, in power and glory. Not humility anymore. The tabernacle was temporary, I said. A movable structure.
Yeah.
Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He slept here one night, there one night, here one night, up there one night, down here one night. He was always moving around. He was just a pilgrim, amen. Just passing through with one thing in his mind, and that was the cross. But the temple was a permanent structure. And when he comes again, look, he's not going to be a vagrant anymore. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. That temple in the millennial kingdom, that's going to be his throne, amen. Right there on the throne of God. He's not going to be wandering around and laying up in the desert sands of Mount Olive and things like that. Listen, that place is desert, guys. It's not what you think when you read the Bible. It's not a plush green Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was way over by the Euphrates River. It was nowhere near the Canaan land. Canaan land, Israel. I have a friend of mine who just got back from 2 weeks in the Holy Land, and he's, of course, he's telling me all about it, and I'm just soaking it in, like, okay, Lord, amen. But he just verified it for me. He said, look, it's nothing like you. It's not a, when you read about the Garden of Gethsemane, it's not a garden of lush trees and green flowers. I mean, beautiful flowers and green grass where you just roll around in the grass like some kind of paradise. No, it's dirt. It's just sand. It was nothing. Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to be slain and give himself a sin offering. He did not enjoy luxuries like we may picture it when we read the Bible.
Yeah.
He was, but when he comes back to rule and reign as king, listen to me, he's going to be living in the temple, amen. He's not going to be feasting on the dirt piles anymore. Amen. By the way, neither am I. Glory to God. Anyway, I got to move on here. The tabernacle was built by Moses the prophet. Christ was a prophet in his first ministry. That was his ministry. Prophet. Amen. Prophet. The temple was built by Solomon the king.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He's coming back as king. Glory to God. The tabernacle was built in the wilderness. Like I said earlier, Jesus came to live among us on this old dirty earth. The temple, however, was built in Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Amen. Not in the wilderness. Not out in the middle of nowhere. The temple of the tabernacle was humble to look at. I talked about that last week. The tabernacle was humble to look at. The temple will knock your socks off. The radiant, ornate glory. Now, it's not there right now. It was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, but it's going to be rebuilt, amen. And it's going to be more glorious than ever. The tabernacle had a dirt floor. I talked about that. It's a picture of God condescending to men of low estate. Dwelling, think about this, him dwelling in and upon sinful man.
Yeah.
Dirt. Now the temple was built on a solid rock, a solid foundation, and we will no longer, listen, during that millennial reign, our bodies will be new bodies, amen. We shall see him like he is, and we shall be as he is, amen. And we're going to have glorified bodies, and we're not going to be dirt anymore, understand? And so that new temple with Christ ruling and reigning, and us as kings and priests with him, it's going to be built on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, our only salvation. And the reason, I'm not going to be dirt anymore. I'm not going to be dwelling in the dirt anymore because I'm going to be changed. Amen. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed.
Amen.
That's that good nursery verse. Anyway, tonight... I really just want to go through that real quick. I'm not going to touch on that a whole lot more, but tonight I want to take a few minutes to go kind of back before the tabernacle in the same thought, line of thought, and look at the beginning of the tabernacle, and I want to show you something here interesting. Go back to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. I'm going a little bit fast. I just want to touch on these things here tonight and give us some food for thought to chew on a little bit. But I think if you'll listen, I think it'll be a blessing to you as it was to me. Exodus 25. Let me just read here the first 8 verses of this chapter. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger's skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Now, I want to go back to this particular time in history. This is before the tabernacle was built, obviously. This is when God is, number one, God is telling them to bring an offering to Him. This started the whole process.
That's right.
Everything that I just said about the tabernacle and the temple and all of the symbols and all of the blessings that we love to shout about and all the presence of God and the very mercy of God and the blood of God, the sacrifice and all of those wonderful things, it all began back here. Listen to me now. It all began back here where God told the people to bring Him an offering. In other words, that fellowship that they had with God in the tabernacle started back here with God telling them, bring me an offering. This thing of giving offerings, guys, is not new.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not something that we Baptists decided to come up with in church so that we could eat some fried chicken. Okay? It's something that God has started. Look what it says here, verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. The offering that you put in this church does not go to anything other than God's ministry. Okay? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. I know you understand offerings, but I want you to see this. This is where it began, and I think it's very significant if we'll listen on purpose. God told them to bring an offering to Him. That's where it all started. And God, number two, told them through the man of God. Again, I'm talking about fellowship with the Lord. Okay, I'm talking about drawing closer to the Lord. And the way it all started was with God telling them to bring an offering.
Yeah.
See, I'm not just talking about money. By the way, there was some obviously precious things mentioned here, some expensive things and things that cost money, obviously. But the principle, I guess, is I'm trying to get across to you, is that when you come to the Lord, if you're going to draw closer to Him, you should always come willing to give Him, hey, whatever He's asking for.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
God came up with this thing of an offering. I don't want to belabor the point, but He came up with it, number two, through the man of God. He spoke unto Moses in verse 1. And so here's what I'm saying to you. God has chosen to speak to His people way back even then through His man. Through His chosen man. His called out man of God. They were called prophets back then, and they're called preachers now, amen. But there's still the same principle. It's God's man telling God's people what God wants from them. And obviously, you can go home and read the Bible now, and they didn't have that privilege back in those days. But God God still has chosen. That's why he says to the man of God, preach the word.
Amen.
Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The point is we need to be in church where God speaks through God's man to tell us what he wants from us.
Amen.
That's a beautiful concept right there that so many people are not understanding.
Yeah.
They think it's something they can take or leave. It's not something you can take it or leave it, folks. It's God's choosing to work in your hearts through his chosen man. And he's got something for you. He's drawing his people. Remember the tabernacle now.
Right.
He's beginning the whole process. God is beginning the whole process here, drawing his people to himself, but he starts out speaking through his man.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's just go ahead and think about it this way, okay? What about everybody that wasn't there to hear it?
Yeah, come on. Come on.
Are they drawing closer or are they falling further away?
Come on.
You see what I mean? This whole thing of church and preaching and teaching, and I know this is elementary to you, but listen, I just want to encourage you tonight. You're doing the right thing. You're in the right place. This is God's chosen method, amen, to get his message across to his people. It's God's chosen method. And I'm telling you tonight, if you'll listen, you're going to hear from God. He's got something for you, and because he's always trying to draw us closer to himself. He started this whole thing. He chose to speak to his people to bring an offering to him, but he chose to speak through the man of God. And number three, God doesn't twist our arms to give him anything.
That's right.
Look in verse 2. Brother Josh even mentioned this when he was talking about prayer requests. But speaking of the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it, willingly.
Yeah.
With his heart. God says, listen, Moses, I'm just about to think about this. God's telling Moses, I'm just about to revolutionize my whole nation. God is now beginning, he's laying the very, very, very initial groundwork for the tabernacle, which of course is going to lead to the temple, which all the things that we've talked about. But he's beginning to just lay the very, very initial groundwork by telling them, okay, I want you to go tell my people to bring me an offering if they want to.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
If they want to.
Amen.
And I just see that as a precious reminder of God's grace,
yeah.
God's mercy,
yeah.
God's love, God's compassion,
yeah.
God's long-suffering. He says, look, I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw you closer to me than you've ever been before.
Yeah.
But it's up to you.
Yeah, that's right.
It's up to your heart.
Right.
Your heart is the deciding factor.
That's right.
Your heart. So he says, I want you to bring me an offering, and I'm going to tell you through the man of God, but I'm not going to twist your arm. Anything we do for God, listen, anything we do for God must come from a willing heart. Look what it says in verse 2. At the end of the verse, it says, of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. God says, if they're not giving it willingly from their heart, here's what he's saying. I don't want it.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you say, well, preacher, wait a minute. Sometimes I give because I have to. Okay, now look. God will still take it and use it. And so will I. I'm not stupid. After all, I'm a independent Baptist preacher. God will still, but you won't get any reward for it. Do you hear what I just said?
Amen.
God will still take it, and God will still use it, and God will multiply it, and I'll put it to use for the ministry, but you will not get any rewards for it because you did it. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, not to give grudgingly or out of necessity.
Amen.
But with a cheerful, willing heart.
Amen.
God said this way back here in Exodus. This really has nothing to do with money. He said, I just want to see who's willing in their heart.
Amen.
He didn't twist their arm. He didn't want to twist their arm. I don't want people to love me because they have to. Yeah. I mean, that was proven way back in the Garden of Eden. Number four, God tells us exactly what to give. Look in verse 3. Remember, I'm talking about drawing closer to Him. Now, don't miss the point. He's laying the groundwork for the tabernacle. Don't get stuck on the money and dollar signs of tonight. Just listen to what I'm saying here. God told them exactly what to bring, what to give. Verse 3, this is the offering which ye shall take of them. And then He lists the things. Exactly. Now, here's what I'm trying to say this. Is that it's God didn't want them to bring what they wanted to bring.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, hold on. I've got to stay focused here. Our giving should honor God.
Amen.
It will not honor God if it's not what God wants.
Yeah, that's right.
There again, if we give Him because we have to, we're not drawing closer to Him.
That's right.
We're not drawing closer to Him because we have to give Him something. Are you kidding me?
Right.
We're not drawing closer to Him if we give Him something that's not what He wants either.
That's right.
God says that we should honor Him with our giving. Now, there is a story in the New Testament about a little widow who had no money. Now, there were lines, you know, there were Pharisees, rich men, giving just out of their abundance, just pouring their money into the offering plate in the temple. I mean, just showing off, really. Look how much I'm giving. But there was this poor little widow, had two little mites. And it really, it might have equaled about a nickel today. She had two little mites. And she went up there and she put in, that's all she had in all the world. She threw her two mites into the offering plate. And Jesus was bored stiff watching those Pharisees with their hypocrisy and their pride. But when He saw that little lady who had nothing but those two mites throw them both in,
amen.
He said, hey, look at that, guys. Look. Look at this widow. See, all of these puffed up, prideful Pharisees are giving out of their abundance. She has given all that she has.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And see, that honored Him.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that the picture there is this. God is not impressed with how much money we give.
Right.
He's impressed with our heart.
Amen.
Our heart. He tells us exactly what to give. Now, He does say, listen now, He does say that we're to the first fruit of our substance.
Right.
Look in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, we'll be back to Exodus 25. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 7. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't think you know what to do better than what God says.
Yeah.
Fear the Lord. Obey the Lord and depart from evil. It's evil when you just go about your life doing what you want to do, thinking it's okay. God calls that evil.
Amen.
It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And then He says, that honors the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That means with everything you have.
Right.
Okay, it's not, here's it. It's not that we go, it's not that we tithe and then the rest of our money we go buy cigarettes and booze.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what the tithe is about, guys. We don't tithe and then go buy our R-rated movies.
Oh,
we don't tithe and then go buy, you know, and then go spend our money on sinful things.
Oh,
and we're supposed to honor the Lord with our substance. That means everything that we have.
Yeah.
That means our home. That means our vehicles. That means our bodies. That means our clothes.
Yeah.
That means our bank account. It's not just money. It's our substance.
That's right.
With the first fruits of all thine increase. Everything that comes up that you get extra tomorrow that you didn't have today is increase.
That's right.
Every paycheck, every time somebody gives you something, a gift, every time you get more than you had, it's increase.
Right.
And God says, I'm supposed to honor Him with the first fruits of that. That's what the tithe is. The tithe is just giving God off the top 10%. Now, we know it's 10% based on Malachi and 2 Corinthians. Well, I'm not going to study the tithe tonight per se, but God tells us what to bring Him. He says, give me, honor me with all of your substance, but give me the first fruits of all of your increase.
Amen.
Okay? And that's exactly, you can't find another way to twist that.
Yeah.
He's telling us exactly what to do. And now, so, when God says honor him, most Baptists misread that and they think it says humor him. That's not what it says. Humoring him is giving him something so that nobody else says anything about you. If you're giving him less than the first fruits, which I believe is the 10% of the tithe. By the way, Abraham tithed 10% way before the law, and so did Jacob, amen. Jesus talked about it, and Peter and Paul talked about it way after the law. It was before law, it was after law. It's tithing. It's just a rule of thumb for you and me to give God the first fruits of our increase, but that's not all. He says also that we give him offerings.
Yeah.
The tithes and the offerings. Now, what is the offering? How much is that? Whatever God lays on your heart.
Amen.
That's a willing offering. A willing heart. That's what we're talking about. Draw. When God lays something on your heart to do, like the missions offering that you all committed to, that was him laying an amount on your heart, telling you what to do through the preaching of the Word of God. Remember, it all this, it's perfectly laid out in the Bible. And then, guess what God's going to do with that? He's going to draw you closer to him through your giving.
Amen.
That's how it works.
Amen.
He's going to draw you closer to him. Now go back to Exodus 25. Now, God says to honor him, not humor him. We should give God our tithes and our offerings, not our tips and our overflow. By the way, grace giving will always give way more than 10%.
That's right. Amen.
The law is structured and rigid and boom, 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 black and white. Grace is abundance.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Abundance.
Amen.
If you're one of those people that sits down, okay, I got paid, let's see, let's just for sake of example, I got paid $1,000.32. Let's just say, I got paid $1,012.32. So I'm going to write out my check. 101.23 cents. Now, are we going to... Oh, I mean, that's ridiculous, guys. Are we going to count it out to the penny?
Come on, Greg.
Okay, that's a little bit... That's not the concept. Okay, it's not the concept of a tithe. The concept of a tithe is at least that amount.
Right.
But anything extra you give to God, you're just honoring him a little bit more because you're that much more thankful.
Amen.
For his grace and his love and his giving and his mercy. You see, but listen, you cannot look at money as some type of restraint on you. You cannot look at money as some type of punishment. God brought this thing out in Exodus 25 because he wanted to put the tabernacle in place so he could dwell among his people.
Yeah.
Don't miss this. Don't miss the point. God told him exactly what to give. There's a philosophy going around today, and it's called junk for Jesus. Junk for Jesus. You know, let me be a blessing to you. That's what they say. Let me be a blessing to you. I want to give you something. And it's something that they found in the back of their garage that's moth infested, rusted out, completely broken. It hasn't worked in 20 years. But I want to give it to you, preacher, because I love you and you're my preacher.
Oh.
Now, does that honor God?
Come on.
Does that help me feel like I'm a real blessing to you because you gave me the junk out of the back of your garage? Junk for Jesus does not honor God.
Amen.
I'm not talking about giving God the leftovers, something you don't know what else to do with. Oh, let's give it to the preacher. Let's give it to the church.
Oh, God.
Guys, that doesn't honor God. Now, you may have a heart. You may have a heart to do that. And if you're doing it out of a heart of love, well, that's one thing. But really, it probably doesn't show much love. So just throw it away. Just throw it away and say, preacher, I love you. Thank you. I'll take that. What am I going to do with your junk? Then I got to throw it away. Come on. I'm not being mean. No, I'm not. Please, don't misunderstand. God deserves our best.
Amen.
Our best.
Amen.
Don't you think it's interesting? Let me ask you this. Why do you think God told them exactly what to give? Now, I'll answer that for you. I'll tell you why. Because, listen, and it's the same thing today. It's the same reason. God told them exactly what to give. Listen now, because he knew exactly what he was going to do with it.
That's right. Amen.
They didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue what he was going to do with all that. Gold and silver and brass and goat skin and red ram's skin dyed red and onyx stones. And they're thinking, God knew. Here's what happened. You know, you remember when you first heard about tithing and giving to all missions? You were like, come on. I mean, we all go through that first phase of, oh, this preacher, all he wants is money. You know, people even quit church because of that kind of stuff. But I'm trying to hurry up. But think about it. God says, this is exactly what I want you to give. And he does the same thing for exactly what I want you to give. The mission, I'm really just kind of telling you, kind of spinning off the missions conference, because I know you guys are just starting to give your missions commitments. You're just starting to get used to that. Some of you for the first time. Some of you increased it, and you're still holding your breath to say, can I make this? Can I make it? Is it going to work? But listen to me. God didn't tell you that because he was trying to scare you. Yeah. He told you that because he knew exactly what he was going to do with it. You don't know. But he does. And that's the beauty of it all. Amen. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And I'm going to tell you here in a minute what he's going to do with them. But he knew the future.
Amen.
See, I gave to missions for a year. Oh my, so a year. And the first month you're thinking, I can't do this. Don't raise your hand, but a year. But listen to me. God knows what's going to be around in a year.
Amen.
Right? I can't tithe. Preacher, you don't understand. I can't afford to tithe. No, you better hush up. You can't afford not to. Because God knows what he knows what he's going to do with that.
Right.
You don't have a clue, but he's going to take that and do something miraculous to draw you closer to him.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Next, look in verse 8, Exodus 25. Verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Think about this. Next thought. When you give what God says, you get what God wants you to have.
Yeah, man.
Isn't that simple?
Yeah, man.
But that's a blessing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said, if you'll give me these things that I've said,
yeah,
I'm going to give you what I want you to have.
Amen.
It's so elementary, but yet it's so profound. God wanted a special place. Look what it says in verse 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It was God's idea. It's what God wanted his people to have. Are you listening to me? So he said, when you give God what he wants you to give, you're going to get from him what he wants you to have.
Yeah, man.
Isn't that a blessing? I think that's a blessing.
Yeah, man.
I think that's the best part of the whole message. God, listen, God wanted a special place to dwell with his children.
Amen.
Think about that. Speaking of all that mercy, God wanted a special place to dwell with his children. Why mercy? Why mercy? Why mercy? But God wanted it. And listen to me. God wanted and still wants you and me to have a special place, a place where he's the center of our lives, where he can dwell with us. He wants that place in our hearts.
Amen.
See, God knew they needed communion with him, or they weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. God knew they need communion. They need tight, close fellowship with me, or they're not going to make it through this wilderness.
Yeah, come on. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Times 10.
Amen.
Amen. Now listen, God knew that they needed it, but if they would have done it their way, please don't miss this, they would have received nothing.
That's right.
Rewind. If they would have done it their way, they would have received nothing that God wanted them to have.
Yeah, amen.
If they would have just brought whatever they wanted, ram skins, badger skins, shit them wood. Are you serious? Here, take my old shoes.
Come on, preach.
Okay.
Preach.
Okay. That's what you get.
Yeah, that's right.
You get some old shoes. Now, seriously, guys, let me phrase it this way. Draw nine to God, and He'll draw nine to you.
Amen. Yeah, you might.
Let me phrase it this way. Make your heart a sanctuary for God, and He'll dwell with you.
Amen. Amen.
So, preacher, I'm already saved. I know that.
Amen.
I know that. I'm not talking about that. He said in verse 8, verse 8 is a very key verse to this whole thing. He said, I want them to make me a sanctuary.
That's right.
Do you see that? Everybody see that? He said, I want them to make me a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
You see that heart, you know that heart, that thing that's pounding, that inner man that's inside you that nobody else sees and nobody else can really know except God. Right. That's where God's talking to you tonight.
Amen. Amen.
And He's saying, I want you to make me a sanctuary right there.
Yeah. Amen.
Good. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Right there. I want you to make it.
Amen. Amen.
God, revive us again.
Amen.
Okay, well then make me a sanctuary.
There you go.
Hey, that's right.
Make me a sanctuary where I can dwell with you.
Amen.
Yeah, you
may. Oh God, and we're praying and we're weeping and we're, oh God, please. And it's okay. I told you what to do. Make me a sanctuary. I'm waiting on you.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
It all started right here. The whole process. He said, tell them, man of God, preach my word. Tell them what I want, because I want to dwell with them. Man, that's Christianity.
Amen.
That's Christianity. That salvation is just the beginning, guys. Sure, it's the greatest thing in life. Sure, it's the biggest decision. But dearly beloved, listen, don't let us go on unto perfection. That's what this is all about. Let us move closer, drawing nigh and near to God. He says, okay, now look, I'm waiting. I've got the plan. I've got the blueprint. I've got the pattern. You just do what I say, and boom, I will dwell with you. You make me a sanctuary. Give me what I say.
Yeah,
that's right.
By the way, all of this is not money. Some of it is, but not all of it. The point is this, a willing heart to give God what He says.
Right,
I mean, dear beloved, we have people today who aren't even willing to give God the 7 to 8:30 on a Wednesday night.
Come on.
I mean, they don't even have 7 to 8:30 on Wednesday night to give God.
Come on, preach.
Hello, where's God? Well, you're not making a sanctuary.
Yeah.
Now, I know you are, but don't ever let it slip that this isn't less important, like this is no big deal. You are right where you need to be, and every time these doors are open, God says you be here. Why? Because this is what I want you to give me, and I will dwell with you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But people can't even give God more than an hour a week.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah, well, where's God? He's just not here. I'm not being unkind, but you understand. God says, you make me the sanctuary, then I'll dwell.
Yep. Okay,
let me phrase it another way. If a man love me, he will keep my words.
That's right.
And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. Verse 8 is the key to this whole thing. See, when our hearts are right with God, next, when our hearts are right with God, God's work will never lack funds, and we will never lack fellowship. Look in Exodus 35. I'm hurrying. 35. Exodus 35, verse 20. And all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. This is another account, but after he told them that, they departed from his presence. They went home, and they didn't get on the couch. They didn't turn on the TV. They didn't go sleep in the backyard. They came, they went from the presence of Moses, and notice verse 21, and they came back, everyone whose heart stirred him up.
Yeah.
And everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold. They brought their jewelry. Every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And they're saying everybody that had something that God wanted, they brought it. If their hearts were stirred up, if their hearts were willing.
That's right.
And all the women, verse 21, this doesn't leave you out, ladies. And all the women that were wise-hearted, we did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and purple, scarlet and fine. They went home and made stuff.
Amen.
Amen. By hand. I don't know if they spun it. They didn't have Singer sewing machines though. And there was nowhere to plug it in out there in the wilderness. Here's the key in all verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up. And wisdom spun goat's hair. Don't ask me how to do that, ladies. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light, for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. All the work was provided for, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Look in chapter 36, verse 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. They just kept coming. It says here, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. The people were restrained from giving, from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Wow! Oh my! What a blessing! But what was it all about? It was nothing more than a good old-fashioned willing heart. That's all it was, guys. They did all of this because their hearts were stirred up. They were excited. Listen, excited to have a place where God could dwell among them. Why doesn't that excite God's people anymore? All that excites you is what God can do for you.
Come on, preachers.
That's all that excites people anymore.
Come on.
God simply said, I want a place to dwell among you. I want a place where you and me can sit and fellowship.
Amen.
But all God's people want today is, what is in it for me?
Come on, preach. Preach.
But when God's people's hearts are right, and they understand what I'm trying to preach tonight,
amen,
the work of God's not going to lack. The funds are going to be sufficient, but the fellowship is going to be sweet.
Amen.
Sweet.
Amen.
Mm.
That's right.
Man, this is good.
Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Finally, everything we give that God wants us to give, everything we give is because of Jesus.
Amen.
It's all because of Jesus. Go back to chapter 35. Chapter 35. Look in verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. This is the same list that we read in 25. Whosoever is a willing heart, let him bring in an offering for the Lord. Gold is Christ's deity. Gold is Jesus. Jesus' deity, see, pure gold is Jesus is pure God. You see, it's a picture of Jesus. Number two, he said gold, and then he says silver. Silver represents redemption in your Bible. The redemption of our wicked souls. It's all Jesus. Then he says brass. Brass in verse 5. Brass is the judgment that he suffered for our sin. Brass. Then he says blue. Blue is, of course, the sky, heaven. He came down from heaven above. Heaven came down, amen, and glory filled my soul. He came down from heaven. He's of God, and he went back to God. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's Jesus.
Amen.
Purple, it says, blue and purple. Purple, of course, is his royalty. He's King of Kings. The Bible says, then it says scarlet. Scarlet being, of course, his precious sin-atoning blood. And then fine linen, the white purity of his holiness. Wow, what a blessing. Now listen, and then it says goat's hair. Folks, listen to me. He is our scapegoat.
That's right, amen. That's right.
You know what a scapegoat is, don't you? Someone who takes the blame for you and you get to walk scot-free.
Come on.
He's the scapegoat. Yeah. He took all of our sins upon him and we just got to run off scot-free.
Oh.
Goat's hair.
Yeah.
And then it says, here's ram's skins dyed red. Now listen, when you think of a ram, if you know your Bible at all, the first thing that's going to come to your mind is there was a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham had his knife up ready to kill his only begotten son, the only son that he had that God recognized and that he loved. And he was willing to take his life in obedience to God. And God said, stop a minute, now I know that you fear me. And Abraham turned around and lo and behold, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And the Bible says, in that same passage, just a few verses before, see, Isaac didn't know what was going on. And he said, Abraham, he said, Father, Father, he said, yes, my son, here am I. He said, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb?
Right. Yeah.
And Abraham offered him this answer very wisely. He said, don't worry, I'm paraphrasing. He said, fear not, my son. God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
And there it was, a ram.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, that ram, not many minutes later, was his skin was dyed red in his own blood.
Right.
Whew. That's good, man.
Amen.
Ram's skin dyed red.
Amen.
And then it says, badger skins in verse 7. Badger skins, you know, badger is a ferocious animal. They are mean. This is his protection. He gets mean against our enemies, guys.
Amen.
He protects you.
Right.
He's way more fierce than the devil. He's way more powerful than anything in this world.
Amen.
Greater is he that's in us. He's a fighting badger for you and me. And then it says in verse 7, shittim wood. Shittim wood is just real hard wood, but it's a picture of his humanity. His humanity. He was all man. We're talking about Jesus. And then oil for the light. Oh, blessed oil for the light. That's the Spirit of Christ lighting up our life. Oh, my soul. That's the Spirit of Christ in me, in you. That we're sealed with that precious blood. But that Spirit of God, ye are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Which is it, Lord? Yes, it's both. Why? Because now he's in you, that precious oil. That oil burned in that holy place in that candlestick night and day. Night, it never went out. It never went out. Oil for the light. Glory to God. And then the spices. The spices there in sweet incense. Spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense. You understand? That's just a sweet smelling fragrance unto God. Always pleasing. Jesus said, I know that he sent me, he's always with me, for I have done all things whatsoever please him. Sweet smelling savor. And then the stones. The stones, it said onyx stones, stones to be set for an ephod and the breastplate. This is a picture of his high priest, his high priestly perfections. You understand? He is a perfect and infallible, inerrant, and infinite high priest. Ever living to make everything in every bit of that was Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
The only reason that you and me will give is because we love Jesus. Everything that we give to God is because of Jesus. Everything that God accepts from us as an offering will be because and only because of Jesus. That precious lamb, that with, there is no access to. That tabernacle was begun as a brainstorm, as an idea of God bringing down an earthly illustration of a heavenly tabernacle, pointing every soul to Jesus Christ. But it even began with offerings that all symbolize, every one of them represented Jesus.
That's right.
Every one of them.
That's right.
Glory to God. God created us for His pleasure, guys.
Amen.
He wanted to have a loving relationship with us.
Yep.
God wants to fellowship and commune with His people, but He leaves it up to us.
That's right.
To give Him what He says.
Yep.
He says, I want to dwell with you, but you make me a sanctuary.
Amen.
And it's all because of Jesus. See, he desires that fellowship, but we desperately need it.
Amen.
That's what we need, guys.
Amen.
That's the only reason you're still here tonight.
Amen.
It's because you understand, I must keep this line of fellowship, this communication and communion, I must keep it fresh.
Amen.
I must keep it open. I must keep it tight. I must not let anything separate me from this precious fellowship. Otherwise, listen, you're not going to make it. This old wilderness will devour you. It all started. God said, bring me an offering. There's more to it than just putting money in an offering plate. It's a heart. It's a heart who's excited about dwelling closer to God. Our Father in heaven, we pray tonight for your Holy Spirit. Keep working in our hearts. Thank you for this precious truth, Lord God.